This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to The Whole Show on this Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Do yourself a favor. Stop by Big City Roadhouse for lunch today. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. Another great sponsor of the show, Diamond Valley Collectibles. We are about to turn the calendar over into November, and there are a lot of people that are like my wife that do their Christmas shopping, get all that stuff. Just get it out of the way so it's not hanging over your head. I've got a suggestion for you guys to mark down on that list if you have a sports fan in your life, and that's Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. They have Legos, they have Funko Pops, Pokemon. It's a big one. They got it over at Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Also, do me a favor. When you stop by, tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. 26 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, Broncos-Texans game. I said it yesterday, and Michael disagreed with me, but I think this is a swing kind of game for Denver. The schedule is, you know, they're 6-2. And you can look at those wins and you can feel whatever type of way you want to about them. But this is a different test. You know, obviously the Colts turned out to be a really good team. You lost in a close one in a late game heroics by the Colts. Same with the Chargers. You took care of the rest of the teams on their schedule, on your schedule. But it is alarming. Benjamin Albright talked to us about, hey, it is alarming the fact that it took 33 points in the fourth quarter against the Giants. As good as it was, as awesome as it was, the fact that it came down to that against this Giants team is kind of a scary thing. But then you handled the Cowboys. Like, we can talk about their defense being bad all we want, but you put up 44 points against an NFL team. That's still a big deal. However, it really does feel like this is that test between Houston, and it's not just the record. Houston is a good football team. I'm not making predictions for them or anything, but I would not be surprised if they're in the playoffs when we get down to it. Maybe they squeeze in. For the Broncos, they could really make a dent in that playoff focus if they can win this one against Houston, because you got to think, man. A couple days later, you go up against the Raiders. There's win number 7 easily. But if you can take the Texans down, you'd be 8-2 going up against the Chiefs. That is just, it's kind of exciting to think about that. But this matchup's tough. DeMeco Ryans, head coach for the Texans, he was in the running for the Broncos job. The Broncos wanted to talk to him. And DeMeco Ryans, I remember when he was asked about it in his opening press conference, in his introductory press conference as the head coach of the Texans. He said, yeah, I talked to the Broncos, and he said, but it was an easy decision for me. Well, at that time, the Broncos were still like, you know, ownership was just starting to get settled and kind of figured out. We were going through that. But, I mean, a lot of people thought DeMeco Ryans was throwing shade at the Broncos with that. But if you're a head coach and you have options and you start looking around the ownership group, the Broncos were kind of a sketchy job to take when the trust was happening, when we didn't know what was going to happen with the Bolins, and didn't know what was going to happen with this, although this ownership group has looked phenomenal. We didn't know what that was going to look like. So you could see why a potential head coach might look at that and go, I don't know that I want to make that my first job, because I don't know if they'll be able to set me up for success in the right way.
Also, he's more of a Costco guy.
Yeah. Boy, don't know where to go after that. But no, Houston's good. C.J. Stroud, 66% completion percentage, 1,600 yards, 11 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Nico Collins, I believe he is going to play this weekend. He is very good. He's a difference maker for this team. Dalton Schultz is an exceptional tight end. Their offensive line, they had an overhaul in the offseason, and that's been not great. So you do like that matchup between the Broncos defensive line and the Texans offensive line. I like that matchup a lot. This is going to come down to how well can Bo Nix play against one of the top secondaries in the NFL and one of the top pass rushing units in the NFL, too, with those edge rushers are very good. This will be a game where I think there's going to be more pressure on Bo Nix, especially with Patrick Surtain out on the other side. You can, if you can get up early in a game like this and set your pass rush up, then maybe you can pull off this dub against the Houston Texans over the weekend.
I feel like Bo Nix is the key, is kind of like every game. The defense is pretty much settled. Yeah, you lost a key player, but Bo Nix hasn't been performing well, except for in a couple of games. He's got to lock it up. He's got to be more consistent. Last game was great. Let's see what happens in this game against a good defense.
Well, they've won games despite, you know, like Bo not having good performances out there. So, I mean, this is, I said it before, if they're going to win a Super Bowl, it's going to feel a lot like that 2015 year. I said at the beginning of the season, Mike, I thought Bo Nix would regress a little bit. Yeah, I think it depends on who you ask, and I think it kind of depends on the day. But if they're establishing the run game and they're getting productive output from their tight ends, I think this team is, I think Bo can be very good. He's not that type of quarterback. Maybe he will be someday, but he's not that type of quarterback that raises all boats. He needs those weapons. And they went out and added a 41-year-old tight end. I don't think he's going to be a weapon. But Sean Payton's ego might step in, Mike. I could really see if Denver gets in the red zone or they get inside the five, drawing something up for Mercedes Lewis, getting him in the end zone, and he would be the oldest guy to ever have a touchdown reception. How about that? I can see Sean Payton wanting to have that.
Ego, or does anyone expect a 40-plus-year-old to score a touchdown?
No, not even catch a pass. I think he's just there as basically an extended offensive lineman.
I think that's what people are thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But I would not be shocked if Sean Payton tries to draw something up and get a little kooky.
I don't think you're the only one. I think a lot of people are thinking that. But the question is, are the Texans thinking that? Or is it more of a local thought?
If you're the Texans, I don't think, all bets are off for what Sean Payton may or may not do. And that will be interesting to see. 12:33 the time, Michael. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.